438, 437, 436. Can the Jaguars make something happen? Brunell under center. Sends Keenan in motion from the near to the far side. He'll take the snap and drop back to throw. Pressure coming. He's jumping out to the near side. Pump action cuts across the 50. Breaks a tackle at the 45. He's at the 40. Mark Brunell running to the far side. Left turns the corner. 35-30. Down to the 25. An inside move. Leaping for the 21. Mark Brunell with a masterful run of 29 yards. And the clock continues to run. 35 from the 16. Mark at the line of scrimmage. Takes the count, takes the snap, turns, looking for Jimmy in the end zone. Touchdown, Jaguars! Touchdown, Jaguars! Touchdown, Jaguars!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Jeff Lagerman.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Lagerman, Fat Tony here with you. It is Jaguars Today live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Time to go to school with Jeff Lagerman. He's watched the film. I trust his eyes a lot more than I trust my own. That's not really saying much, to be honest with you. But if you want to get in with a question for Jeff today or just talk about Jaguar football in general, 641-1010, the number as always. You can tweet me at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, who I must acknowledge before we go any farther, Jeff. We had two 1010XL listener leagues that we did for fantasy football.
Listener leagues?
Where we, like myself, Tony, and several others from the station will play against listeners. You know, we invite them to play with us, so that's what they are. In one of the two leagues, Lauren Brooks with the high score of week one.
Does she have Allen Hurns?
I don't know. I don't think so. Lauren, did you have Allen Hurns on your squad?
I do not. That would have been smart, though.
Lauren,
I did think
so
about
I'm guessing that's a big fat
no. I'm right here. Sorry.
There she is. That's all right.
Yes. I did not have Allen Hurns, although I did think about drafting him. I really did.
Well, you thought about it.
I have Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green.
I would have drafted him.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Where were you when I was doing my fantasy draft?
You asked me, Lauren.
Come on, Jeff. Actually, in one of our leagues, I think somebody had him and didn't play him.
Ooh.
He put up like 27 points.
You got to trust your eyes.
I guess so. We'll trust your eyes. Let's look at the film from week one. You've already done that. Let's start with the quarterback position because it's always the most polarizing for this particular franchise at this stage of their development. Chad Henne. Some good, some bad. Just overall, what were your impressions of watching it?
I thought it was okay, and I think it would. A lot of people probably would have had a different impression of him if Allen Hurns is able to hold on to that ball over the middle, if Marquise Lee is able to high point the ball instead of trying to go in over the shoulder, if Mercedes Lewis is able to make that catch on fourth and one, although that ball could have been better from Chad, if Marquise Lee was a little better on a couple routes. I mean, that.
That's
it's
football,
always
though,
the
right?
way it is when something bad happens with a team. You know, people always want to point the finger at the quarterback, and that's just natural. That's just natural. But I thought that he played good enough to win. I think some of those around him needed to play a little bit better. I think the offensive line needed to be better in the running game. I thought protection-wise, I thought the offensive line was very good.
Yeah, I thought they were decent, too. Two sacks, and, you know, Henne got hit, but it is the National Football League, and you're going to get hit.
Yeah, you're going to get hit. But, you know, my biggest concern going into that game was Bill Davis, the Eagles defensive coordinator, who likes to bring pressure against an offensive line that was so vastly inexperienced, and I thought that they handled it very well. I thought Jacques McClendon played very well. I thought that Luke Jokel played much better than he had in the preseason. I thought Cam Bradfield, after the last game that we saw him against the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason at left tackle, at right tackle, I thought he played very well.
You were even thinking it might be Sam Young starting the season.
Absolutely.
Because of how badly Cam struggled in the preseason.
I was a little disappointed in Zane Beatles, I think. But, you know, how much was the calf injury in the preseason affecting his play? He didn't play with a lot of power, and typically, I mean, last time I checked, you needed a calf.
Yeah, drive with your legs, right?
To run block and to be physical. You know, so I was okay with the offensive line play. I mean, there's a big sign that is, you know, and I'm speaking here kind of figuratively.
Okay.
There's a big sign that is hanging on the offensive side of the ball, and there's a big sign also on the meeting room of the offensive line that says men at work. I mean, this is a work in progress for the offensive line. It's certainly a work in progress for the offense. You know, 62 starts for Zane Beatles, and where are all the other starts on the offense? You know, wide receiver position, you started two rookies, for God's sakes. You know, on the offensive line, removing Zane Beatles, you got 14 starts at the positions that they played at. You got a brand new starting running back in Toby Gerhart, who, yeah, he's got experience under his belt, but he was a backup to Adrian Peterson. I mean, this is going to be a work in progress, and they know that. The coaching staff knows that. That's why one of the reasons why they went out in free agency and got a Ziggy Hood and a Red Bryant and a Chris Clemens, to where they could survive the season and then get to the point where the offense, you know, to buy time for that offense to allow them to develop.
When you watched Toby Gerhart pre-ankle twist injury, whatever you want to describe it as, was it noticeable to you? Was he noticeably
away?
I mean, you could
right
tell
away.
The rest of the impacted the rest of the game how he ran.
Right away. I mean, you could see that the leg drive, the finish wasn't quite there, the decisiveness wasn't quite there, the pressing the hole on the outside zone wasn't quite there. You know, but that happens. I mean, that's what, you know, when you get hurt, I mean, that's kind of what happens. I give him credit just for toughing it out and trying to play. At the same token of that, you know, Denard Robinson at times looked a little bit more explosive when
right.
he was in there. And I think as a coaching staff, you got to see with, you got, again, trust your eyes and say, okay, you know, Toby got hurt. You know, we're looking at him. We're not quite seeing the same explosiveness. You know, do we go ahead and just go ahead and go with Denard and go with Jordan Todman? You know, and maybe if they could do it over again, maybe they would have done it differently.
Regardless if Toby's hurt or not, were you surprised that Denard only got the few touches that he got? I expect him to be a little bit larger part of the game plan, even if Toby was healthy the entire game.
How many plays did they have? I mean, you know, I mean, in the second half, you go three consecutive three and outs, you know, so if you can string plays together, then it would probably warrant rotating guys in.
Right.
You know, but it just didn't happen. You know, I don't know how many plays that they had in the third quarter. I'd have to look at my notes here, but I mean, I'm looking at my game notes right here. To start second half, three and out, second series, three and out, third series, three and out, and then the next series after that, it was eight plays and a punt, and then eight plays and a punt, and then the next series after that was a fourth and one. I mean, you gotta string plays together to have a rotation, and they just weren't able to do that.
Were you surprised? I wasn't necessarily surprised because the running game wasn't going anywhere in the first half, but they threw almost exclusively on those three and out series. Did you think that was the right thing to do? Did you think they needed to be trying to, you know, even though it's still early third quarter,
Totally okay with the play calling, because the Philadelphia Eagles had either Malcolm Jenkins or Nate Allen in the box almost all the time, playing eight guys in the box. And that was the way to play the Jaguars offense, because you got a rookie, you know, wide receiver on one side, a rookie wide receiver on the other side. And so if you're Bill Davis, your thinking is, they have to prove to me that they can throw the football with Chad Henne and two rookie wide receivers, and then also if they bring in another guy, it would be another rookie and Allen Robinson, and then a very inexperienced guy in Mike Brown. So make them prove it, you know, and they played it exactly right. You know, the offense was able to generate some things in the first half because of the plays that the defense made. One of the things that I was disappointed in is that in the second half defensively, they weren't able to keep that momentum going with an offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles that was down to nobody left to be able to play. They had two backups in the game, 53. I'm sitting here looking at my chart now. Out. Andrew Gardner came in for the injured Alan Barbary, and then they had David Mulkin at left guard. You know, so that was disappointing. You know, and much like what we saw last year, you remember the San Diego Chargers game
when
the San Diego Chargers all of a sudden had major injuries along the offensive line? They were in the same type of situation. They had every active guy playing, and the Jaguars' defensive front last year weren't able to take advantage of it.
Why do you think that was? I mean, it was just they just didn't make the plays, because certainly they came at them in waves in the first half, and it was a variety of different players. You know, Ryan Davis figured prominently, Andre Branch, Chris Clemens, Derek Marks, they were all getting to the quarterback.
I think the tempo has a lot to do with that, because when you're playing a team that has a lot of tempo, and then you're playing without Paul Posluszny for a little bit, and you're playing without Jonathan Cyprian for a little bit, you're a little cautious maybe about the different defenses that you play. Because if you had all of those guys and you didn't have the tempo, I guarantee you that Bob Babich would have been dialing up some serious heat.
Right.
Not only to stop Darren Sproles, but LeSean McCoy, but then also to be able to pressure Nick Foles, because Nick Foles was not sharp. Nick Foles was off.
He was terrible in the first half.
Off.
You don't think it was just
a bunch of stuff.
Like, Tony and I watched the game live. He looked rattled. You know, like he'd gotten hit so many times that
he looked
hurt.
Like,
right, he certainly was hurt at one point, and Sanchez got up and warmed up. But even before that, I mean, he was missing guys NFL standards, that just by a mile. Yeah. I mean, missing a guy, a 10-yard throw by 4 yards, yep. Which just doesn't happen with a professional quarterback.
He didn't involve his legs. You know, watching the game, it's hard to actually look at the mechanics of the quarterback, but when you watch the film, you could see that he was thrown with a lot of arm. His footwork wasn't even anywhere close to being where it needed to be.
But was that because he was incompetent maybe in the pocket?
I don't know if it was a lack of confidence thing or if he was literally hurt and not quite, you know, couldn't quite move his lower body to adjust to the throws. You know, I don't know what it was, but if he was on his game in the first half, it wouldn't have been 17-0 because he missed a lot of throws. He missed some seam routes to the tight ends. He had Celek one time wide open on the seam. He had Jordan Matthews, the young wide receiver out of Vanderbilt, wide open one time on a seam. Remember the long touchdown of Jeremy Maclin that was a blown cover by Chris Brzezinski? In the first quarter, Jeremy Maclin was streaking down the field wide open.
Nick Foles never saw him. Right.
Never saw him.
So as good as the defense looked in the first half, if you had a more aware quarterback who was playing better, if Nick Foles was playing up to his full capability on that day based on what we saw from him last year, you might not have had that impression that the defense is playing well in the first half.
No, if he's on his game, I think it would have been tough.
That's why we go to school every Tuesday with Jeff Loggeman to find out the truth on the film. The film doesn't lie. The eye in the sky. We've got it with Loggy. We've got your calls. Welcome it. 641-1010. You want to get in, talk with Jeff Loggeman about this team, what they can do to bounce back going up against the Washington Redskins, anything Jaguar-related. Bring it to the program. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today. Not specifically Jaguar-related. Obviously, the big news in the National Football League yesterday, the video comes out of Ray Rice striking his then-fiance, Janae, in that Atlantic City elevator, and then it was a few hours later when the Baltimore Ravens terminated his contract and Roger Goodell suspended Ray Rice indefinitely. The question for you today, based on past precedent, we've seen guys like Mike Vick come back after going to Leavenworth for dogfighting and cruelty to animals, saw Leonard Little be convicted of DWI manslaughter and come back in the National Football League. Will Ray Rice play another down in the NFL? It's hard to believe this morning that he would, but I said that a few years ago about Mike Vick. What do you think about that? Share your thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page and tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, who is a fantasy football diva and a co-host of Helmets and Heels, which will air tonight as well on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We'll take a timeout, come back more with Jeff Loggeman looking at the film from week one, Jaguars dropping one to the Philadelphia Eagles right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. Been telling you a lot about those folks for quite a bit of time now, and you know what? They never stop. They're never satisfied. They're always looking to do something to improve their product. So they've introduced a new brand. It's called Anytime Deli. They've got the Carving Station wedge sandwiches that are absolutely out of this world. You can even go for a lighter lunch and try the cranberry chicken salad on wheat, big old chunks of white meat, premium chicken breast. I love the top round premium roast beef sandwich piled high with Swiss cheese, just enough Dijon horseradish sauce, and it's all toasted on a fresh sourdough bun. You're going to have something that you like no matter what you try. The Anytime Deli sandwiches, it's dandy, kicked up to a higher notch. You're going to find them in your local convenience store cold case. Always delivered fresh, never frozen by a local company. The Thompson family have been serving you delicious food for nearly 6 decades. So the next time you pop in and you're hungry for lunch, do what I do. Head to the cold case. Get an Anytime Deli from Dandy.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, True Teal. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. What's going on in Bulldog Country? Culhane's Irish Pub presents the Georgia Bulldog Football Report, brought to you by Culhane's Irish Pub in Atlantic Beach. On 1010XL 92.5 FM. Celebrate with tournament host Davis Love III when the McGladrey Classic comes to the Golden Isles for its fifth year, this October 20th through the 26th. Played at Sea Island Golf Club, this official PGA Tour event is conveniently located just an hour north of Jacksonville. Join us for youth activities, Darius Rucker in concert, and golf by some of the world's most elite players. Tickets to this seaside tradition are limited, so buy today at McGladreyClassic.com.
Got a clogged drain or a problem with your sewer?
Dial 69511.
Nobody likes to have plumbing problems at their home or business, but if you do, call Metro Rooter. We provide fast same-day service with the right parts and equipment on hand to get you up and running. For all your plumbing and septic tank needs, call the best. Just pick up the phone and dial
695-1911 or MetroRooter.com.
Claude Nolan Cadillac means luxury, performance, and service you can count on. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac has served as the preferred Jacksonville Cadillac dealer. A pillar of the community, Claude Nolan Cadillac has been owned by the same family from day one, so you know you can count on them to take care of you when looking for your next vehicle. They also have more master technicians than any other dealer in the area. Claude Nolan Cadillac is located on 4700 Southside Boulevard. Go see them today.
Now that should take care of any problem. Wild West Guns and Gold is always there for you because even a 60-second response time is not enough. Wild West Guns and Gold only buys dealer direct and passes the savings directly on to you. Not only does Wild West Guns and Gold guarantee the best price every time, they have the best selection on everything from handguns to military assault rifles. Call 693-0777 or visit gunsforjax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com for more information.
The Drill. Mornings on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Dan Hicken here. If you'd like to have a realtor guarantee the sale of your home, Cece Underwood with Keller Williams Jacksonville Realty will guarantee she'll sell your home in 60 days or she will sell it for free.
That's right, Dan. We do it every day. I like homes to sell, not sit. Call me, Cece Underwood, today to get your home sold.
So don't risk your home sitting unsold with another realtor. Call Cece today at 302-4800. That's 302-4800.
These days, everyone is looking for ways to save money. One idea is to get a free rate quote on your car insurance from GEICO. You could save 15% or more. It's a wonderful way to save money. And after that, if you're still looking for ways to save, here's another handy tip. To save money on clothing, do like me. Just don't wear any. And you'll also save money on dry cleaning.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Warning. If your ears are sensitive to hard-hitting facts, earmuff them now. This is Gary, the hard-hitting commercial voiceover guy for Geico's local agents. Fact 1. Your local Geico agent is an expert at getting you the coverage you need. Fact 2. You can talk to your local Geico agent face-to-face. Fact 3. Facts 1 and 2 hit so hard, I don't need a third.
To see how much you could save on more than just car insurance, contact your local Geico office in Jacksonville or Orange Park.
1010XL 92.5 FM is brought to you by Everbank.
At this year's company party, give your employees a logoed shirt or jacket. Hardball Creative can put a logo on any item, no matter what it is. Make it a hardball fall this year by using only the best. Online at hardballcreative.com.
Money gets messy. How? What? When? We all have questions. Talk to a professional every Saturday at noon here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Managing Money Matters, hosted by David A. Cossack.
Joe C., Hacker, and T-Wig.
Come in.
Come in.
Three of a kind, noon to three weekdays on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Jeff Loggeman, Fat Tony, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios here at Everbank Field. This is, I'm told, the Stone Foxes, and the song is Everybody Knows. No clue on the music theme today.
I'm not sure you'll figure it out until the very end of the show.
The very end of the show.
Mm-hmm. My prediction.
Is this a daily thing where you've got to guess her thing?
I don't have to, but I choose to, yes. Okay. Yes, it's kind of a fun little mental exercise. The Jags are playing Washington, but the game will be shown on CBS because the AFC is the visitor.
Yeah, anytime the traveling team carries the network with it.
Right, and that's why I was thinking, though, is the game on Fox? I was going for something simple like that. I don't know. Tony, you laugh at me if you will, but I don't hear any guesses from you yet.
No, I'm waiting for another clue.
All right, there you go. First clue, Stone Foxes, Everybody Knows, except in this case, nobody knows.
Except me. And one other person here who suggested it, but I can't tell you that part because that may give part of it away.
Will that give it away?
It might.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. So,
is it Donna Murphy?
Yes.
Does it have something to do with Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
Yep. Stone fox. Oh, she thinks that Jax Teller's a stone fox.
No,
I bet that's
since
it.
You're
that's...
so close, I may as well tell you now.
What is it?
Sons of Anarchy premieres, I guess, or
tonight.
Comes back on tonight, right?
Season finale. First episode of the final season.
Yeah. Okay, and so this is all music from the Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, very nice, Murph.
Yes. She gave
Murph
me that
would
theme.
Be excited. Her problem is though, she'll be in bed as soon as Helmets and Heels is over with, and she'll watch it 3 days later on DVR or whatever, and I won't be able to discuss it with her till next week. So it's a little frustrating.
Well, apparently you need to get someone else in that building to watch it, and then you can discuss it tomorrow.
Maybe. You watch
it won't
it,
be
Rockman?
Me.
Sons of Anarchy? It's a good
show. I'm not a big TV guy.
You don't strike me as a big TV guy.
Too much to do.
By the way, you ever heard of Culprit when it comes to fishing?
Culprit?
Culprit. It's a brand.
Yeah, Culprit.
He knows. Yesterday, for the question of the day, I was Google an image. It goes with it. We're talking about who or what was the biggest culprit in the Jags loss. And I Google image the word culprit. And I get a bunch of rubber worms, staring at me.
The bait.
I knew you'd know that.
Yeah.
You're a good man. All right, let's continue to take a look at what you've seen on the film. And phone lines are open to you right now at 641-1010. If you want to pick Jeff Loggeman's brain, he's a lot more level-headed than I am as well. I can guarantee you that. Looking, again, defensively, Cyprien goes out of this game.
Big loss.
Was that the most critical? Is that the biggest culprit in the game, the loss of Jonathan Cyprien to you?
Because Josh Evans had a rough day tackling. And then on the Jeremy Maclin touchdown catch, Chris Przinski's a deep middle third safety. And how in the world can a fourth-year safety that's been in the league stick his nose or even have the lack of eye discipline to come up in that situation that's unforgivable. I mean, you can't do that. I mean,
he that good on special teams?
He is extremely fast. He's gotten better in his tackling. But, I mean, that's not typically a mistake that you see Chris Przinski make. I mean, the mistakes typically that Przinski makes are the ones that Josh Evans made in that game.
Which are what? Missed tackles.
Missed tackles.
He had that one play in particular
nice
where
tackle.
He came up and, like, a yard behind the line of scrimmage or right around the line of scrimmage. As form a tackle as you're going to find. You can make all the form tackles you like. If you give up the big one over the top, it kind of negates it all.
As a safety, you've got to stay back in that situation. And you could tell that Winston Guy was very frustrated, putting his hands up in the air as he was turning and running and chasing Jeremy Maclin. That's a mistake that you just can't have happen. When you're a deep middle third safety, that's your job. And it goes back to what Gus Bradley is famous for when he was on the sideline in Seattle. Do your job. You always make plays when you take care of your responsibility first. When you don't, you end up getting caught and you get burned, and Przinski got burned.
This popped into my head. Is Troy Polamalu, is he freelance his whole career, or is that designed to let him do that?
The way that they play that scheme, they kind of built it in to where he can be a little bit of a freelance artist. Because he's around the box area.
Right.
When Troy is a deep third safety, Troy's not going to stick his nose up in there and take a chance. Now, Ed Reed was the king of cheat and the king of disregarding his responsibility. But Ed Reed was so smart that he could do it. He knew when to do it. He knew when to cheat. Very few safeties have ever had the awareness at playing the game to where he could cheat on his own responsibility and shade another way, or to totally disregard his responsibility because he knew exactly where the play was going to go. One of the greatest minds to ever play the safety position that I've ever seen.
Going back to Cyprien here, he's in the concussion protocol. We don't know what is available. Let's assume he's not available for Washington.
Did you hear the radio broadcast? I mean, I knew exactly what happened because I've had that happen before.
We were listening to broadcast and watching it simultaneously at the same time.
Yeah.
We were his head.
You
I mean, he
landed
on his butt and he snapped like it was acting like a lever.
It's
and
like
he
a
snapped
whip
back. Yeah,
it's like a whip. And that's when you're falling back. That's the one thing as a player you always try to keep is keep your neck muscles tight and tuck your chin in to your chest, knowing that that can happen. But with the weight of your head and the weight of the helmet on top of that, it's sometimes difficult to stop that.
Yeah, and the force that hits you, it's just sometimes going to be impossible, you would imagine. But I said to Tony at the time, we always say, man, what I'm seeing right now is the biggest, the worst, whatever. That was the hardest I ever remember anyone's helmet bouncing off the turf.
It was pretty bad.
I mean, it was violent. And so let's say he is going to be out. Let's hope, you know, hope for a speedy full return to health for Jonathan Cyprian.
I hope he does, but you know, with the NFL's concussion protocol, doctors are very conservative, as they should be, about letting a player come back out on the field, because if the doctor makes the wrong decision, he's going to get scrutinized. And so most doctors would have a tendency to err on the side of caution.
Right.
And rightfully so, because it's erring also on the side of caution for the benefit of the player. You know, so when a player gets knocked out cold, and he was out cold, it might take a while.
So let's say he's out, a week, 2 weeks, whatever the case. Jeff Loggeman's setting up the defense. Is it Josh Evans, the first man up here?
I think it'll be a combination of the two, Pruszynski
depending
and
on
Josh
what?
Evans.
Down and
depending
distance?
Depending on down and distance, I think that when it comes to, and this is kind of odd that I'm going to say this, but Pruszynski has a little bit more range than Josh Evans. Josh Evans typically is a better tackler than Chris Pruszynski. Now, we didn't see that.
The complete opposite of both of those
in Philadelphia, right?
Right.
But, I mean, that's historically, that's what those two players have been. Josh Evans has typically been a great tackler. But let me add this, too. It's not every week that you face LeSean McCoy, who's got unbelievable moves, and great vision. I mean, he knows you're coming. He knows you're coming, and he's setting you up, whereas most running backs are just reacting when they see him at the last second. McCoy already knows you're coming.
Look, nobody's going to fault anybody for missing some open field tackles on LeSean McCoy. The one play Tony and I watched yesterday from our untrained eye, the fourth and one with Darren Sproles. Okay, and Gus Bradley admitted he, you know, should have called a timeout at that
situation.
We're
actually going to look at that on Film Room Friday, Jaguars.com this week, and we will show some of the confusion and show why it was not a sound defense.
We're looking at Josh Evans on the top of the screen on the left side of the defense, mm-hmm. Okay? And the play goes right to the middle. I mean, it's a direct handoff to Sproles right up the middle, and he takes kind of like a hesitant half step, but he's really watching Foles. Is there a way to tell for you what his responsibility was? Should he have been watching the quarterback coming out on a bootleg, or should he have been crashing down to prevent that?
It's an inside zone play. You know, it's an inside zone play. Your inside zone plays should be eat up by your defensive tackles and then your linebackers. And they didn't really have the personnel. I don't think the perfect personnel on the field for that.
So was it more the loss, the lack of Pazluzny on the field for that play?
I think that was a coaching error.
Okay.
I think that's
wrong defense.
Yeah. I mean, wrong personnel, wrong defense, late getting lined up.
But typically, then you're kind of almost absolving the safeties here because
when a running back runs up into the A gap on either side of the line of scrimmage, rarely if ever is that a safety's responsibility. Rarely if ever. Now, making a tackle 10 yards down the field, maybe, as far as reacting and closing back in.
Right.
But
limiting
a safety never, rarely if ever, would have an A-gap responsibility.
641-1010. Let's get some phone calls going. Jeff Loggeman here with us on Jaguars today, and he'll be here every Tuesday throughout the season. We'll start with Sherman this morning. Good morning, Sherman. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
What can we
do for you? I've been listening to Jeff, you know, do the broadcast for all these years, and I don't mean any disrespect, and I really am, you know, like how he does do his work. But it seems like I have the impression that either Jeff has low expectations for the Jaguars or he's not a realist. I'll take your comments off the air.
Hold on. Do you need him to expand on that?
Yeah, kind of explain yourself just a little bit. As far as low expectations, I mean, my expectation is just to kind of let you know what they are, is that this team is in a process. You know, that this team is not ready to come out and then compete for a division title yet. It's on its way. But those are my expectations, and that's being real. You know, this team is in year two of a complete rebuild. Okay, so go ahead and explain just a little bit more so I can get a feel for what you're saying.
Well, I really respect your expertise to say that. I want to say that first. But it seems like when you do an interview with one of the players, they have the nonchalance of a, well, we did get our paychecks, and what else do we need to worry about? So that kind of like a lot of the fans, I know myself included, feel like there's no were more upset about how the team lost or performed than they are. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, it's, you know, I can give it to you from both perspectives, as a fan, as an analyst, and then also from the locker room. You know, it's not, trust me, these guys take it much harder than I kind of think what conveys in an interview a lot of times, because they're trying to do the right thing in the interview and be positive. But trust me, when you walk into that locker room, as I did after that game in Philadelphia, there was hardly anything. I mean, it was almost like you could have heard a pin drop in that locker room. Trust me, it affects the players. Yesterday, walking around the hallways here yesterday, it was not a happy feeling whatsoever. I mean, trust me, it means the world to these players. Now, on Tuesdays when they get their paycheck, does that make them feel good? Absolutely. But also, that paycheck is dependent upon performance, and they realize that. You know, so, but you can't go around acting as if the world is going to end tomorrow when you're a player, because the world's not ending tomorrow. You're going back to work tomorrow.
True, but I think it's an important story that you're telling about going into the locker room immediately before the typical rest of the media is let in. You have access as part of the Jaguar Radio Network before anybody does,
right,
from a media perspective. So we see the cooling down period, and, you know, like you said, the guys who are going to talk, if there are guys who are steamed after a game, they're liable
they don't
to be
talk.
Right. They don't want to talk, or you don't want to talk to them, because,
right,
you know it's not going to be a good interview in that circumstance. But I do think, look, I think there is some validity to the fact that fans live and die with it every second. You know
so
what I mean?
Players.
Some do. And I think they probably do more so than fans realize. But fans, fair or not, get turned off when they see a team get beat, and they're out there yucking it up with their buddies from the opposing team 3 minutes after the game. How would you respond to that? I mean, you're not the defense lawyer for every player in the National Football
League,
by
the way.
No, and
I'm just
asking your perspective.
And I'm not trying to be, because, I mean, I played with players that it didn't impact them whatsoever. It didn't mean enough to them.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think there are, you know, there's a bunch of fans that probably are like, hey, they didn't win this week, move on to next week.
Or at least that was the perception that I had as a teammate to some.
Right.
That it didn't bother them enough. It didn't mean enough to them.
What do you think about that, though? That post-game environment when guys are yucking it up, maybe it's the only time they're going to see that guy, whatever the case may be, but, you know, fans are like, man, we just lost 45-3 here, or whatever the case, or we just had our guts ripped out in the fourth quarter. How can you be smiling and joking about it within 5 minutes of the final whistle?
It's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to stomach that sometimes when you see that. But at the same time, you know, with a team sport, a lot of times one guy that may be smiling might have just had the best game of his career.
Right.
But the other 45 or 46 guys didn't play well. You know, so it's hard. You know, I always tell people this. It's hard to look at somebody's face post-game and to see how much it means to them. Because that's just, it's a different world that you live in when you're talking about sports. You can't let wins and losses completely control and dominate your life at this level. You can't. You got to be able to get over it and move on.
Unless we're talking about my fantasy football leagues, which clearly take precedence. Let's get Alex in before we break here with Jeff Loggeman. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
We spent a lot of time in Jacksonville talking about the skill positions, quarterbacks, safeties, and wide receivers, running backs. But the heyday in Jacksonville, we had a dominant offensive line and a very competent defensive line, and it was nice to see sacks in the first half of that game on against Philly. You know, sacks from multiple points, too. Pressure from multiple points, which is unusual for the last, 5 years in Jacksonville. So what changed from the first half to the second half? Did Philly change or did we change?
Well, I think one is that Nick Foles got better. You know, on two of those sacks, the Chris Clemens sack and then the Andre Branch sack, those were three-step game to where he had to pump it, pull it back in. He was indecisive, and that allowed the rush to get there, and the offensive linemen at that point are protecting four, three-step.
So what you're saying is he should have been a three-step drop, and the ball should have been out of there somewhere.
Ball should have been out somewhere, and it wasn't out. Now, I give the coverage credit for that, but then also on one of those plays, Nick Foles missed a guy. You know, so it's not always what you think. You know, because they had the Clemens sack and you had the Andre Branch sack, and you're like, yeah, we want to see more of that in the second half, that was also on Nick Foles. You know, Nick Foles got better in the second half.
Didn't hold it as long. For one thing. All right, good to know. Going to school with Jeff Logman. We do it every Tuesday. More of your calls. Welcome at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, first week of the NFL season in the books. How did your fantasy football team do? Well, let me tell you what. Whether you won or lost, did you win cash this weekend? No? Well, you don't have to make that mistake again. Sign up for FanDuel and win cash this very weekend. You can play in real money leagues for as little as a dollar. $1, and you never know what you can win. Come in first place, it could be hundreds of times your initial investment. Joe Watson from New York turned a $50 deposit into over $30,000 in 2 weeks playing fantasy football on FanDuel just last season. You can join him and the hundreds of thousands of other users who've already won money, including myself. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and simply put in my first name, Mike. When you do, as a first-time user, they're going to match your initial deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. Free money to start playing with and hopefully winning at FanDuel.com. The leader in one-week fantasy football, F-A-N-D-U-E-L, FanDuel.com. Use promo code Mike to get the matching funds. Start playing, start winning today with FanDuel.com.
Jaguars today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. Can't get enough Jaguar football?
That's what I'm talking about.
Good. We can't either. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
When your AC is broken and the heat is on, call AvalonAC.com. 904-245-1818. These guys are great. AvalonAC.com. AvalonAC.com.
Visit AvalonAC.com. Avalon Heating and Air is an A-plus dealer for Goodman.
Is your home's foundation letting you down? Do you have exterior and interior wall cracks, sloping floors, and sticking doors? Is your foundation cracking? The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair experts. Let Foundation Professionals find the solution, work with your insurance company, and give you back the peace of mind that your home is safe. Financing is available. Call 287-2690. That's 287-2690. Fully licensed and insured. Foundation Professionals of Florida.
Howard here for the Metabolic Research Centers. Proud to report that I've maintained my weight loss the last 4 months. After losing 49 pounds in the Metabolic Research Center's program, I've found it easy to keep the weight off without feeling like I'm missing anything, which will help in tailgating season. Even better, I was finally able to go out and buy pants that actually fit my new waist size. Everyone is different. Metabolic offers personalized menus based on what will work for you. Your weight loss coach will select a menu that will help you lose weight quickly while taking into account your food preferences, lifestyle, medical history, and age. All menus are designed using real foods for home or even eating out at restaurants. 4-week programs start at $49. Metabolic Research Centers have 10 convenient locations on the First Coast and the greatest people to help you on your weight loss journey. To find one near you, click on emetabolic.com or call 800-501-8090. That's 800-501-8090. And get yourself started today.
Jessica Blaylock here from 1010XL 92.5 FM to tell you about a visit I made recently to Big Chief Tire. It was such an exceptional and personal experience. I was greeted at the door and treated with such professionalism. As a woman, I was so relieved when the tire consultant actually listened to me before making a recommendation. I purchased a set of Michelin tires that changed my entire vehicle performance. For all of your vehicle maintenance, take it to Big Chief Tire and join the family with 53 years of experience and ownership under their care.
St. John's, live local radio for Jacksonville. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Hi, Justin Football. I mean Justin Moore. And game on at George Moore Chevrolet. The power of Plaid makes it easy in the tailgate zone. And here at the Plaid Palace, we've got the game changer in Jacksonville. Automatic and leather, no charge. New George Moore Chevrolet Cruze with automatic and leather, no charge. Now, $16,988. And tons of tailgates in the tailgate zone. Silverado savings go all the way. New 2014 2015 Silverado 1500 double cab, $299. That's right, $299 a month. Whether your team wears orange and blue or garnet and gold, whatever. Let the power of Plaid put you in a brand new Chevy in the tailgate zone. Game on at George Moore Chevrolet on Atlantic Boulevard, just east of I-295. Online, morechevy.com. It's all good in the zone. Need I say more?
For details, log on morechevy.com and click specials. All offers with approved credit. Find new roads.
For many of us, shaving's a pain. It's uncomfortable, it causes nicks and cuts, and razor blades today are outrageously expensive. But not Harry's Razors. Harry's makes their own blades, so they cut out the middleman. Harry's Razors are high-quality, high-performing, German-crafted blades for a better shave that respects your face and your wallet. I'm talking factory-direct pricing. Harry's are about half the price of the other big branded blades, and they ship for free to your front door. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades at your local retail store when it's half the price at Harry's? On average, an everyday shaver saves $150 each year on blades when using Harry's razors. So experience a clean, close, comfortable shave today with Harry's razors. Get started on your new shaving experience by visiting harrys.com now and picking the shaving set that's right for you. That's Harry's Razors. Satisfaction guaranteed. Visit them at harrys.com.
When you want to hear the Jaguars, just listen.
One step up the mountain. You want to get that championship, got to keep climbing. Let's go, Jags on three. 1, 2, 3.
The flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
There we go. The Civil War's I Had Me a Girl. Tune in tonight.
These do sound like Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, they are totally Sons of Anarchy.
I've never watched it, and that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I can just see stuff going on with this kind of haunting music.
Yeah, it's Sons of Anarchy. I think you could probably play this one on Justified, too. It seems like it would fit the mood on Justified.
It sounds like a song where you need, like, whiskey in front of you or something like that. That's
yes.
Kind of that Sons of Anarchy feel.
There's probably more whiskey in Justified than there is in Sons of Anarchy, actually, but... there's plenty in both, I'm sure. All right, 641-1010, we got Jeff Loggeman here with us, so we'll get back to your calls momentarily. I've had a few people ask me with the drug policy up for review, so to speak, the negotiations going on between the league and the NFLPA to perhaps strike a new drug agreement which would include HGH testing, but would also reclassify amphetamines from performance-enhancing to substance abuse policy, and also raise the threshold for marijuana. Currently, the NFL's threshold is 10 times stricter than the World Anti-Doping Association's threshold for a positive marijuana test. Josh Gordon's numbers that he hit, only hit the NFL threshold in one of his two samples, wouldn't have come close to popping him positive if he were, you know, an international athlete under the World Anti-Doping standards. And there's been a lot of talk about retroactively grandfathering in people who were suspended this league year, so since early in the offseason. So I've had a lot of questions, Jeff, about Justin Blackmon and Ace Sanders. Would they be impacted? My understanding is Justin Blackmon wouldn't. His suspension predates this league year. But then
we don't know the details.
So we don't. But assuming let's assume for a hypothetical, if Ace Sanders tested positive for marijuana, which I don't know, but let's say he did, and his threshold was above the NFL's current standard but below their new proposed standard, there's a chance he may be retroactively have a suspension done away with.
Well, I can assure you that in the next 3 weeks, I would be shocked if there's an agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA.
Would you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this is it's all hopeful, you know, by the NFL and hopeful by the NFLPA, but it's collective bargaining. You know, I mean, that's something that is never as simple as it seems. You know, each side wants to have certain things to give and take. And when I saw the report that, you know, hey, the NFL and the NFLPA, they're so close on this drug deal. I'm just sitting there going, you know, no way. No way. I mean, this is typically something that takes a lot of time.
But have they been talking about this for a long time?
Well, they have. But I think that with the Josh Gordon deal that was going on, with the Wes Welker thing that was going on, I think that the NFL probably looked at this as an opportunity. Hey, look, we can maybe go ahead and push this through. And the NFLPA would react in positive fashion because it would look good to their membership because we got this deal and we got some players back out on the field. But at the end of the day, it's got to be good. It's got to be good, and it's got to be good for the entire body, the entire membership. So the NFLPA, I think, did the right thing. Let's slow down here a little bit, and let's make sure that it's the right thing to do.
So, in your mind, the likelihood is the timing won't matter anyway. Even if it would impact a guy like Gay Sanders, it will come too late to have it.
Yeah, and I just hope that eventually, at some point, that they do get HGH testing in, because I think that that's, you know, if there was something that players are going to try to get away with, it's something that's not on the list.
Of course.
And it's not fair to the players that don't use something because they're playing against guys that maybe are using something. And also, if it's the same playing field for everybody, then people don't put their body and their minds and their health at risk by taking some type of performance-enhancing drug that they can get away with. That's the most important thing.
All right, let's take a call or two here, 641-1010. And Ian's got a question about Allen Hurns. Ian, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. I was just wanted your opinion on two things, actually. One was Hurns. You know, he's looked impressive all offseason and the first game. And I have to wonder how much playing time they envisioned for him before the short injury. So my question is, how much do you think he's going to get playing time now after producing the way he did, even if Shorts does come back healthy? And then my second question was kind of a behind-the-scenes thing for Jeff. How long of a leash do veterans have? When you got younger guys producing and starting to make a name for themselves, I mean, can you be too loyal to your veterans to the point to where it starts to hurt your team?
Well, I'll answer the second question first, and that as a coach, a lot of times if you see something out of a young player, you're not sure if that was just a one-time thing or if that's a pattern that's going to be able to be trusted to be consistent on a weekly basis. You know, so coaches are a little bit leery of turning over playing time or the reins to a young player until they feel that they can trust them. But coaches aren't stupid at the same token. If you've got a young player and he's showing you that he's capable of producing more than somebody else, you're going to play him eventually. But you got to trust him to be able to play at that level consistently week in and week out. It's a long season. Now, going to Allen Hurns, you know, I said this to Frank prior to the broadcast, and I think we talked about this in the pregame show with you and JP. And I said, I'm okay with Allen Hurns getting the start because I didn't feel real confident about Cecil's performance in the last two preseason games to where he would be able to come out and perform at a high level just because he didn't show it in the last two preseason games. So I was okay with, hey, let Allen Hurns go. He's going to be fine. I mean, he was productive in the preseason. He was consistent. And he impresses me because he's very polished for where he's at. He reminds me a little bit of Keenan McCardell, because when Keenan walked in the door and you'd watch Keenan in individuals, he didn't impress you because he never did anything great. He wasn't fast. He had good hands. Allen Hurns has good hands. He wasn't quick, but he just had a knack for making the play, making contested catches, finding the open hole in the zone, and being dependable to where the quarterback trusted him. And you can tell that the quarterbacks, Blake Bortles and Chad Henne, trust Allen Hurns. So I expected him to play well in this game because he showed to me that he is more dependable, more trustworthy than Allen Robinson and also Marquise Lee at this point. So, once you get in the NFL, it doesn't matter how you got in the NFL. It's a matter of performance at that point. So just because he was an undrafted guy doesn't mean that Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee are going to take play time away from Allen Hurns. If Allen Hurns keeps playing like he did this past week, he's going to keep playing.
They got to outperform him to take that time away. And they've got to do that probably in more limited reps, certainly in the case of Allen Robinson right now.
And then as far as Cecil Shorts goes, I think Cecil now, once he comes back, he has to prove that he is the better option in practice because he hasn't been able to show that in the preseason games yet. He's got to show that he's healthy, and he's got to show that the coaches are going to put him in the lineup because he has earned that back. It's not something that's going to be given to Cecil Shorts. That's just the way it is.
Your guess, will they ultimately shy away from re-signing Cecil because of the injury concerns? Or maybe if he stays healthy the rest of the way, it all depends on what the negotiation value comes in.
Yeah, it's about value. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, will they or won't they because of the injuries, but I think that the injuries impact the level that as the team
pay.
Of what you're willing to pay and the guaranteed money.
All right, 641-1010. Ian, thank you for the call. Let's go to Brian up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Brian.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
First of all, I'm not one of those guys who believes this whole thing was on Chad Henne. The second half was an epic meltdown of the Jaguars. It's just, it was a whole team, coach, everybody, just a whole meltdown. But in the second half, Jeff, was it just that they weren't wanting to stretch the field? Was there open guys down the field that Henne wasn't seeing? I mean, what was it more just things we couldn't see that, you know, I mean, as far as guys being open that they didn't show on the, you know, on the game versus the film? That's why he wasn't getting the ball, you know, he wasn't able to complete anything past 10 yards down the field.
Well, I mean, you had the drops. I mean, you had the drops. You had, I think the route, the crispness of the routes waned a little bit in the second half. The lack of a running game, I think, put a lot of pressure on the offense. And think about what the down and distance was for the offense in that second half. It was 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s, 3rd and 10s, 3rd and 11s. And if you're a play caller, look, when you look down at your call sheet, you know, that color-coded call sheet that you always see offensive coordinators kind of hiding their mouth while they're talking to the quarterback, there's not a whole lot of plays on that sheet that are designed for 3rd and 10 and 3rd and 11 and 3rd and 12. You're very limited. You know, so it's not all on Chad. It's on everybody. But it's also on Chad included in that group. He's got to be better.
Who was really good? I mean, Hearns wasn't perfect. You know, there's opportunities to make some other plays, but who would you single out and saying, wow, not too much to quibble with their performance this Sunday?
I thought that Jacques McClendon, I thought, played very well.
Isn't that amazing? I'm not doubting. I trust your eyes, and I've said it forever. I can't judge offensive line play from just watching the game, but the one position we've had more questions about, one single spot, mm-hmm. has been center that for the last couple of months.
But he wasn't perfect.
No, but it's interesting, though, that he's the first name that you mentioned is playing pretty well. So.
You
know,
and I think expectation has a lot to do with how you view certain players' performance. You know, if you look at Marquise Lee and Luke Jokel, you expect their performance to be high,
right,
because they were high draft picks. Allen Hurns, your expectation level for Allen Hurns is not that great. Now, would your expectation level be different for Allen Hurns if he were a first-round draft pick? You're darn right. You know, so your expectations influence perception so much, and a lot of people don't even realize that. And I always say this to fans. Don't ever put the responsibility of their draft position on the player for their expectation level. Because Luke Jokel didn't choose to draft himself with the top pick of the draft last year for the Jaguars. You know, Marquise Lee didn't make the decision that have your expectations be determined by where the player was picked or drafted.
Good luck with that.
But it's hard to do. It's very hard to do. I mean, as a fan, I mean, because, you know, so to me, the disappointment, if there is disappointment, or the excitement about a certain player shouldn't be related to that, to the player. I mean, that should be going towards David Caldwell. You know what I mean? Because that was the guy that
understood.
Chose to pick him.
I get it. Understood. But there's still going to be, I mean, the fans nature, you're going to be disappointed if you got a player that you feel talent-wise should be performing better than he is. Whether that's justified or not, whether it's rational or not, that's just being a fan.
The perfect example over the last couple of years has been Tyson Alualu. You know, a lot of people were disappointed in Tyson Alualu. Tyson Alualu has been a solid football player for this team. He's not been a great football player. But he's been a solid, dependable player for this football team and has fought through a lot of injuries. He didn't choose to pick himself in the first round a couple years ago. You know, so I always say that to people.
All right. I think that one will fall on more deaf ears than most.
And
of
I get that from a fan standpoint.
I know what you're saying, and it makes perfect logical sense. I appreciate the logic, but fandom doesn't always reek of the logic, okay, which sometimes drives me crazy.
You have to pardon my being logical.
It's all right. I appreciate you being logical. I think logically you're correct, and I think realistically, good luck with that. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, this date in football history, we'll do the Honda drive around the NFL and take more of your calls at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. You know what the fourth American Football League is?
No.
It's the AFL. The most recent version of the AFL, the one that merged with the NFL, was actually the fourth attempt at a league called the American Football League. And they made their debut today, first game ever in AFL history, as Denver, the Broncos, knocked off the Boston Patriots. I mean, it's a familiar list of teams. They all merged into the National Football League. You had the Patriots, Bills, Oilers, Dolphins, Jets in the Eastern Division, and you had the Bengals, Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders out west, and they all got assimilated into the National Football League. Also, this date in football history, Walter Payton surpassed Jim Brown as the NFL's combined yardage leader when he went over 15,517 yards. That all happened on this date. Plenty of birthdays as well. Deion Sanders was born on this date in football history in 1967, one of the best players, but this didn't strike me as the nicest guy. Just from my limited interactions with Deion. Deion's pretty proud of Deion.
He's a showman.
Oh, he's a showman.
He's a showman. But the whole thing about the school that he was involved in,
yeah,
in Texas, just doesn't smell right.
I totally agree with you. There's all kinds of things about Deion that don't sit particularly well. But regardless, Joe Theismann also born on this day in 1949.
He's not my favorite guy.
You know, it's fun. Why is that?
You know, I remember in 1989 when I was drafted and was in training camp, and we had our training camp at Hofstra University, mm-hmm, which was right there where the Jets, you know, training facility was at, and it was actually on the campus of Hofstra University, so we used their dorms where we stayed at, and the meals and everything were right there. And I had just signed, and I was always up early at that point because, you know, I was trying to catch up. You know, I had contract negotiations that kind of went into the preseason, didn't get there until right before the third preseason game. And Joe came in to the cafeteria, was going to be calling our game like the next day, was visiting the camp, and sat down and had a great conversation with him. You know, was asking me, you know, I grew up basically right there where Redskins Park was at in Virginia, in a little town called Sterling. And so he's asking me, you know, about that, and I said, yes, you know, I grew up, you know, watching you, and you used to play. He was actually the club champion at Capitol Courts, which was a racquetball Nautilus Fitness Center that my dad used to work out at. So I used to watch Joe play racquetball. And so he thought that was pretty neat, and I wasn't trying to say it to, you know, impress him or anything. I was just being honest with Joe. And he was very nice, and then all of a sudden, you know, like 2 days later in the broadcast of the game, he just starts hammering me, you know, the Jets shouldn't have picked him. He was a reach, and, you know, and that's fine and dandy, but he went a little bit far. You know, it kind of goes back to, and that's why I'm a little sensitive about draft position. You know, hey, look, you know, these guys aren't responsible for maybe where they're picked.
All right. It all comes full circle now, Tony. We got it.
But he got a little bit personal in that broadcast, and I never forgot that because, you know, I think, and I've always been this way as a broadcaster, is that you can't ever be afraid to say something to somebody that plays the game. You got to be able to say it to them,
right,
in order to say it in a broadcast.
Right. You
it's
said
about
that
being
many
fair.
Times. Right.
It's about being fair. And Joe was just totally off the chart. And so I remember seeing Joe at some point later on and basically told him what I thought about it. And because, you know, he was just one way with me and then another way on the broadcast.
Sure.
And didn't think that was fair.
Oh, I can only thing I can go by is he's been treating me very nicely over the years. I never thought he was very good as a broadcaster, not because of the reasons you're laying out. I just never liked him as a broadcaster.
I do know this. You know, once I got in the NFL, you know, I got a chance to meet a lot of the guys that Joe played with, you know, whether it been Dave Butts or Joe Jacoby, Jeff Bostic, Raleigh McKenzie. I mean, all those guys that played on the Hogs, John Riggins. You know, I got to meet all those guys and had great conversations with all of them. And it did not surprise me to find out that Joe Theismann was a pariah among that group. You know, they used to have offensive line. They'd get together after practice over an equipment shed at the old Redskin Park and drink beer. You know, Riggins was in there. And the one guy that was
shocking,
never allowed in there was Joe Theismann.
Really?
Never. They never allowed him in that room.
Interesting. This state in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Fencing is an investment in your home or your business. You're going to feel better. Your family's going to feel protected as well. If you have Best Fence on the case, they're going to give you a professional free estimate at your convenience. So call Best Fence Company of Jacksonville at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Indianapolis Colts pass rusher Robert Mathis, who led the league in sacks last season with 19.5, currently serving a four-game suspension, has a torn Achilles tendon. He will miss the entire 2014 season. Mathis turned 33 in February, so he'll be 34 by the time next season gets started. According to sources, Buffalo Sabres owner Terry Pegula is set to buy the Buffalo Bills for $1.1 billion, indicating that the Bills will probably stay in Buffalo. Richard Sherman, don't know if you saw this last night during Monday Night Football, trolling Patrick Peterson on Twitter during the game. He tweeted out at one point, "Looks like everyone is keeping their corners on their side. That makes me laugh." Hashtag trendsetters. Follow that with a tweet of wide open eyes after Malcolm Floyd got inside of Peterson for a touchdown during last night's game as well. And the Ray Rice video from inside that elevator released by TMZ yesterday morning. The fallout since has obviously been significant. The Ravens have released Rice. The league has suspended him indefinitely, saying that yesterday was the first time they had ever seen the video. The team said the same thing. The league is saying that they requested that video from law enforcement, but were never given access to it and never went directly to the casino to request that video.
Hey, how about when you're talking to Ray Rice? Oh, by the way, you have the video because your lawyer has it as part of the discovery in your case. Why don't you provide us that video, Ray, so we have a clear picture of what transpired in that elevator. Ray Rice refuses, and then you got to say, hey, Ray, the only reason you'd refuse is because it's probably worse than you're describing it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jeff, Ray Rice, our question of the day, which we'll look at some of the responses a little bit later on. We ask people, do they think he'll ever play in the National Football League again? How do you feel about just the way the whole situation is being handled at this point?
Well, I mean, I think the league responded properly now. Yeah, I wish that they would have kind of waited to see all the evidence before they gave him a two-game suspension, because I think it kind of left a little bit of a black mark on the league. And I think I've always said this, is that out of respect to the players that play the game, the respect to the players that play the game, you need to take the right action. And Commissioner Goodell made a mistake, a huge mistake. I think it showed disrespect towards the players that played the game and came before Ray Rice. Ray Rice should be suspended indefinitely, but the league should have waited to get that video evidence. They knew it was there.
Of course.
I mean, if you know it's there, why would you make any kind of decision whatsoever until you see it? Don't talk to Ray.
You could talk to him, but verify what he's saying.
Right.
And the other critical mistake, and it was brought up at the time, you've got a victim of domestic violence, and you're questioning her in the presence of her abuser.
Can't do that.
You saw the violence of that encounter. Lauren Brooks made a tremendous point to me yesterday. We were talking about this yesterday on the phone, and one of the things that bothered me the most about the video was the callous nature in which he reacted to what he had done.
After he struck her, he was just as bad as striking her to me.
Exactly. Her head hits the railing. She's knocked out. For all he knows, he has killed her, right? What does he do? He kicks her leg with his foot, mm-hmm, as if to say that she's still alive. His hands don't go to his face. His, you know, like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Lauren's point was, and Lauren, correct me if I'm misquoting you, was that he reacted to her like a guy who wasn't shocked by what he had done, made her think, probably not the first time he's done it. Because, I mean, think about it.
Right.
If that were truly so far out of your character, Lauren, right? I mean, would
Absolutely.
You feel like you would have a little bit more of a strong reaction than what he had?
Well, I think my point was the fact that she laid there basically lifeless to all of us watching. And he, even if he didn't care about her, typically a human's going to react and care about themselves and make sure that he didn't just kill her because of what that means for him.
Right.
So the fact that he reacted that way means that absolutely that's happened before. And he knows she'll come to in a couple minutes and they'll go on as they always have, apparently.
No excuse for that, period. The way he reacted after, inexcusable. And I am shocked that she married him. I mean, really?
Right. Well, I mean, look, there are a lot of different things that can play into that.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, putting blame on her in any way, shape, or form, but that, I mean, that's to marry somebody that would do that to you?
Look, I agree with you, but there are people that stay in abusive relationships, whether they're married or not, for years because of the psychology of it, the dominance and the control aspect of it. I'm not saying, I don't know. I don't know if that happened here. It could have been as simple as her saying, you know what? It sucks, but I could have a punch in the face and not have half of the guy's money. I put up with this up to the, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
know.
I'm not saying that's what she did, but there are many motives that would lead her to make that decision. I'm hoping for her sake, A, that she is not in the way of any more of his fists. B, that if she did have her own financial outlook, that foremost in her mind, that she got some kind of a deal that entitles her to half of everything he'd already previously earned, because he's not earning anything more, in my opinion.
No.
I mean, could you imagine? And here's the thing, too. Everyone's, oh, the video. So the video's taking us to a new level. What did you think happened
right
in that elevator? They're dragging. She's dragging her limp body out of the elevator. He admitted to striking her. The grand jury who saw the video raised the simple domestic battery charge to a felony level charge when they saw the video, and then the DA knocked the charges down to next to nothing. I know. That's a whole separate story.
Another discussion.
If we were a news talk, we'd be talking about that angle. But we're a sports talk, and people are saying, well, why aren't they getting more heat? Oh, they'll get plenty.
Oh, they're going to get it.
And they're already getting it. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, they're dragging her out, Tony. He's dragging her out.
We all knew something heinous happened in that elevator. Just based on the video, which is why it's so ridiculous that the league didn't take its time. We all knew something bad happened in the elevator.
When all this happened, though, I said, look, we don't know what happened in that elevator. You know, was she going after him and it was, you know.
Like, what, right. Defensible thing is she's pummeling him and he kind of shoves her away.
Yeah.
And she accidentally hits her head
Or as part of him trying to defend himself. But I mean, clearly, I mean,
Do you remember what his lawyer said?
Toward him, and he cold cocked her.
Apparently, she spit on him because there's another video. The AP has seen it last. Oh, I know. I'm not saying that's justifying, but she did apparently. There was a shouting match. There's a video that hasn't been released yet that has the audio that the Associated Press was made privy to last night that shows the incident. It's a supposedly more clear video. You can hear the exchange, but I'm not absolving. There's nothing that it would justify what he did in that scenario. But his lawyer, remember what his lawyer said when they said, why are you taking this deal? Then why aren't you going to fight? He goes, well, hypothetically, let's say this video shows Janae being the aggressor. And hypothetically, this is all the while when he knew it didn't show that. And Ray Rice knew it didn't show that. And he went along with this strategy to smear his would-be wife in the media. And he just went along with that. And, of course, she played along with it as well. But he went through this whole thing hypothetically. Let's say that it was an accident. And would that be any better for Ray, though, in the end? And it's just like this whole absurd alternate reality scenario that he put together. I guess that's what the defense lawyer is supposed to do, is create reasonable doubt. But for Ray Rice just to play along with that, I mean, I think, honestly, people are saying they've changed, it's double jeopardy, they're changing his suspension. I think he's being suspended indefinitely for lying to the league or the Ravens.
No question.
I mean, he probably characterized what he did completely differently inside that elevator, but again, why are you going to take his word for it?
One thing that I will say that Roger Goodell has always done is expected when a player comes to his office to be upfront and honest with him. And the ones that have not been, and the commissioner has found out about
it. He's come down the hardest.
And he reacted in a responsible way once they saw the true video.
Yeah, well, he abdicated his responsibility in the initial adjudication with the league discipline. But that's a discussion that will be ongoing, I'm sure. 641-1010, we got to take a timeout. And we'll come back, take more of your calls with Jeff Loggeman here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What's going on in Bulldog Country? Culhane's Irish Pub presents the Georgia Bulldog Football Report. Brought to you by Culhane's Irish Pub in Atlantic Beach.
We keep the heart, we heart. on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Garber Auto Mall, located in Green Cove Springs on Highway 17, just south of Fleming Island, gives you seven all-American brands in one location. Chevy, GMC, Buick, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, Chrysler, and Ford, with interest rates as low as 0% for 72 months and savings up to $10,000. It's worth the drive to Garber Auto Mall. Seven American brands, one location, one salesperson. That is Garber Auto Mall. Ever wondered what seven all-American brands look like from the comfort of your home or work? GarberAutoMall.com can be viewed from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. With GarberAutoMall.com, you can shop from any screen, anywhere, anytime. Once you pick the car or truck you're looking for, just make the short drive to Green Cove Springs on Highway 17, just south of Fleming Island, where we can show you how we beat big city prices every day.
Hey, Jags fans, Coach Gus Bradley here. Nothing quite matches the excitement of leading our team onto Everbank Field, and now game day can start with you through the Everbank on the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jags home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the opportunity to lead our team as they take the field. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. That's everbank.com/prowl and enter today. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Kevin Kaplan, head team physician for the Jacksonville Jaguars and one of 31 physicians at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the proud sports medicine providers for the Jaguars since 1994. During the season, I see a lot of injuries, but not only from the players. I treat people from all over the community just like the pros. If you need the best care for your injury, remember the team behind the Jaguars is JOI. We are affiliated with Baptist Health, and we are Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Find us online at joi.net.
The Georgia Bulldogs play here. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Your local Applebee's has a brand new look, and we want you to check it out. Applebee's is your college and professional football headquarters, where you'll be able to catch every game on all of our new TVs. Plus, we've got the NFL package, SEC Network, and free Wi-Fi, so you won't miss a play. Don't forget, Applebee's is your place to be after all the action. Open until midnight or later every day of the week, with half-price appetizers starting at 10 p.m. and two-for-one drinks all day every day. Applebee's, it's a whole new neighborhood.
Jack's Federal Credit Union's auto loan rates are 50% lower than the Jacksonville average. It's easy to get pre-approved or refinance your existing auto loan. Plus, anyone in Northeast Florida can join. Visit jacksfcu.org today.
You need the most out of your machines, your company fleet, your trucks, your customers' cars. You need them at their best in the most extreme conditions every season has to offer. You need Jack Becker Distributors. Jack Becker Distributors are Jacksonville's diesel exhaust fluid and antifreeze experts, and throughout September, purchased Blue Def diesel exhaust fluid for only $99 a drum. That's $99 a drum. Limit 4 drums. This is a pickup offer only. Stop by at 6800 Sumac Place or call us at 354-8411. That's 354-8411.
S Fence Company of Jacksonville is the only choice when designing that custom fence for your home or business. Not only do they custom design your best fence to fit your needs and specifications, but they're the manufacturer using the industry's highest quality, Endurus Vinyl and Alumiguard Aluminum. Homeowners Association? No worries. Our designers fabricate your fence to showcase your property, ensure HOA compliance, and customer satisfaction. Call 268-1638 for the best fence company of Jacksonville, your best choice.
Spokesperson is not an attorney.
File for $0 to $400 down. Call the Bankruptcy Law Office of Keith D. Collier at 696-DEBT for a free phone or office consultation. The Law Office of Keith D. Collier. Local, experienced, trusted.
The number one station for Gator Nation. 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Jacksonville Sports Radio.
Hey, glad you're along with us. This is Chris Goss and the Forest Rangers.
My goodness.
Sitting on top of the world. That's where Jax Teller has been at times, sitting on top of the world as the head of the Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club Redwood Original.
Mm-hmm.
Hence Sam Crow. There you go. Looking forward to that tonight. I'm going to get a little afternoon nap Going to get in. Got a little show after that. Might get a nap after the show. I stayed up late last night watching Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Me too.
You watched the doubleheader, Jeff?
I watched the first game.
Did you?
Yeah, and then I watched the very beginning of the second game, and then it was time to go to bed.
Man, that was an interesting game. Really no flow. Entire first half offensively for either team. I don't know if it was great defense, Tony.
Second game?
Yeah, second game, yeah, Arizona.
The first game was just, I mean, what a performance by the Detroit Lions. I mean, if that team, and I've always believed this about the Detroit Lions, ultra talented. I was never a big fan of Schwartz as a head coach. I thought he was too emotional a lot of times with his football team and never got them to play in a very responsible, disciplined way. And I think that Jim Caldwell was the perfect hire for the Detroit Lions. I think they got it right. You know, it's taken a while for their general manager, Martin Mayhew, to make it right, and I think he's got the great combination there. Matthew Stafford, to me, took a huge step up last night.
He looked better than he had. Yeah,
way
he,
better.
He's always kind of like scattershot, throws balls into coverage.
Didn't do that this last
night.
No,
he didn't. He didn't.
Real disciplined, was happy to throw the ball away. And I think the perfect example that I thought that showed his progress, that it was a third and exceptionally long, and he just threw the ball underneath to make sure that they had a decent makeable field goal instead
right.
of in the past Matt Stafford
fired in there.
He'd be throwing the ball 25 yards down the field trying to make that third and 25.
Right.
You know, be happy about the 3 points and then come back and play another series.
Right. You like having a guy that's got the ability to go down and make that play down the field, but
when you have to.
Right, when you have to. Right.
And you've got
to
have the brains to understand what the risk reward of doing something like that.
Well, what an interesting night. They said Stafford is like the fifth most rushing touchdowns among quarterbacks in the last 4 or 5 years, whatever the number was.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer all of a sudden last night was breaking containment. This guy was running all over the place last
night.
Converted
a critical third and 10 for them.
Third and 10, he picked up 12 yards on a scramble, broken plays. I mean, he was extending the play. He was moving really well. I thought that the numbers weren't eye-popping, although they started to add up in the second half.
I like that coach.
I like played very well. Arians.
Love him.
Good coach, well-liked, well-respected.
I'm not a big fan of San Diego's coach.
No, was that Mike McCoy?
Mike McCoy.
Yeah.
You can see his ego on his shoulder all the time.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Do you know him? Have you had an interaction? Or just
I don't know him, but I've heard that.
Through the grapevine kind of stuff. Very clear that Michael Floyd has surpassed Larry Fitzgerald in the pecking order.
It looks like it at least last night.
Right. I mean, last night they had.
The last 2 years now, Larry Fitzgerald has not been the Larry Fitzgerald
right.
that we knew.
But when you saw it last night, where they're pointing out they had identical coverages, man coverage on either side, and his first read was always going to Floyd. Floyd, they didn't throw the ball to Fitzgerald until sometime in the second half, I don't think.
Well, you know how I feel about Michael Floyd. He was my favorite player.
He was good, man. He made some plays last night. He looked fast getting down the field on that big deep ball over the middle, too. You've watched the Redskin film, right,
mm-hmm.
from this week. Give us a little look-see into your mind here.
I like their defense. I really like their defense. I think that Ryan Kerrigan, an exceptional player. I think Arapco is starting to come back around and play like he's played in the past. You know, I was very curious to see what kind of performance that they would have in the middle with the absence of London Fletcher, who has been really a stalwart for that Redskins defense.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two really good players. Perry Riley Jr., who wears 56, and then also Keenan Robinson, 52. The two inside backers, I mean, these guys can run. These guys can run and make plays. I think they're very good. Jason Hatcher, who they got from the Cowboys, had, what, like 11 and a half sacks last
right.
year. He looks like the real deal. When he's on the field, he makes an impactful play nearly every time. I don't think they're very good at the safety position. I think Bakari Rambo is weak. I think that the one corner, David Amerson, is a work in progress. And I think D'Angelo Hall has some veteran savvy, but his skills have dwindled. So I think there's some opportunities.
For another week, too.
I think there's some opportunities against that Redskins defense.
RG3, I mean, Tony and I were looking at the numbers on Sunday afternoon. What a shocker, paying attention to football statistics on a Sunday. And, you know, his completion percentage was ungodly. I mean, he was like something like 26 to 29, I want to say at one point, something absurd. But the yardage.
What was his yards per attempt?
It was terrible.
There
was terrible. Was this the offense, you watch the film, I didn't see it. Was Jay Gruden, do you think he was he trying to protect him, trying to simplify? What was the point of the game plan to throw so many short passes?
Well, I think the big reason for that was that RG3 did not have a ton of time. Man, J.J. Watt, you're sitting there and you're watching the film, and you're trying to watch the Washington Redskins offense, and you find yourself watching J.J. Watt every play. He's that good. I mean, he dominated that game, crushed the Washington Redskins nearly every play.
Did it, Matt? Did he play better, or was it? Did you notice any difference when Clowney was in compared to when he wasn't in the game?
Still same.
Same thing.
It didn't matter if Clowney was
I didn't know if that would benefit him a little bit just to have that extra presence.
No,
on the field.
They didn't treat Clowney. You know, they didn't say, okay, we got to block.
They said they gave J.J. Watt the J.J. Watt treatment.
Yeah. He's so good. And it doesn't matter who he plays against. And the Texans do a really good job of moving him around to where it's hard for an offense to really focus in on where he's going to be at.
Yeah.
And I know they got new coaching staff there in Houston, but they play J.J. Watt as a wide left end. They played him as a defensive tackle. They played him as a right end, as a wide right end. They moved him around a ton. And the one guy that really impressed me for the Houston Texans was D.J. Swearinger.
Mm-hmm. Safety.
He has taken a big step up this year. Yeah. Big step up. But that's kind of what, you're sitting there trying to watch the Washington Redskins, and of course, you got the Texans, they're a division opponent, so you're kind of watching them too, but J.J. Watt makes it impossible not to watch him. That's how good of a player he is. He's the greatest defensive player that's come along in I don't know how long.
He's certainly,
It's Reggie White. I mean, has it been that long?
Yeah.
He's
in that category.
He's dominant.
Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White.
He stepped into the league.
He's worth the price of admission, whatever it is.
Wasn't it his rookie year, right? You go back to that playoff game, was it Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Absolutely took him apart in that game.
He can do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a freak. He's fast. He's strong. He's long. He's got a motor. He's athletic.
We'll get to them. In the meantime, the Jags will get to them a couple of times.
But to go back to your original question,
RG3, it's kind of
hard.
We'll take our eyes off JJ for a minute. I mean, do you expect, because even though the Jags had a good pass rush for the most part this week overall, they don't have a JJ Watt type presence, do you expect that Jay Gruden will open up the deep ball? I mean, you don't go get DeSean Jackson to throw a bunch of dink and dunk passes, do you?
No, you don't. But DeSean Jackson is a guy that you don't always want him running deep because he's so creative once he catches the ball and gets in a little bit of space underneath. Pierre Garçon, also excellent player, quick, great after the catch. I mean, two very good wide receivers. But you could see that RG3 is not very confident in the pocket. He's much more comfortable moving and running.
Should they design an offense around him? I mean, should they do more to incorporate that aspect of his game into the base offense of what they go with?
If he were in Chip Kelly's offense, he would thrive. I mean, he's got a great arm. He's accurate. But to be in that offense, you got to have a great running back. But that would be, if I had to pick one offense for him to be in, because he is a running threat, he's got a very good arm. He's mobile. Is the Chip Kelly offense is a perfect fit. And they're trying to make him a drop back quarterback, and that's not really what he does best.
Last week you talked about the Jaguars linebackers going to Philadelphia. That would be a key matchup for them to watch and see how they hold up. When you look at the Redskins, where do the Jaguars need to win this game?
To me, it's if you can make RG3 be the man to beat you, that's the way to do it. I'd play mate in a box, play a soft zone behind it, because Stephen Morris is the key to beating the Redskins. I don't think RG3 is ready to take the controls and win a football
Alfred
game.
Morris.
I mean, Alfred Morris.
Unless you think calling him up off the practice squad is the secret this
year. Yeah. But Alfred Morris is the key. If you can stop him, I don't think RG3 is ready to take that next step where he can put a football team on his shoulders and win a football game. And the one thing that I will say about RG3, he's not going to make it through the season again. He's not. He's careless. He feels what I call phantom pressure. He's nervous in the pocket, but now when he gets on the move, he's got a great arm and he can throw it. But if you can stop Alfred Morris in a running game and put it all on RG3 and let him run around a little bit, you're going to get free shots at him. Take him out. And I'm not saying in an illegal fashion.
Oh, blast him. It's the NFL.
Good clean shots. He's very sloppy with how he takes care of his body.
He absolutely
and
is.
And he's the biggest diva I've ever seen.
Yeah.
First of all, every time he gets hit, you know, he's got to go through this whole dramatic thing that, oh, I got hit. And I want everybody to see that I got hit. And I want everybody to hold their breath to see if I'm going to get up. Just get up. Okay? Everybody gets hit on the football field. Okay? Just get off the ground and go back to the huddle and play again. And then to read his comments after the Houston game where he starts making references to Michael Jordan about Michael Jordan would just keep on shooting in a game. Hey, RG3, you're not freaking Michael Jordan. Okay? Stop having this inflated opinion of yourself. And I guarantee you that that rubs his teammates in a very wrong way.
Is he not getting invited to the equipment shed for post-practice beers?
No way. As a quarterback, you have to endear yourself to your teammates, and I think that that was one of the complaints that London Fletcher tried to work with RG3 on last year, because he didn't do that. He always wants to talk about himself. You know, the whole social media thing that he was going through in training camp and people doubting him and him responding to that. Dude, just shut up and play. Just shut up and play.
You like just watching the film, you like the Jags' chances this week?
I do. I don't think the Washington Redskins are that good of a football team. I think they win.
Tennessee's at home against Dallas this week. Titans a 3.5-point Vegas favorite. That opened at 1, by the way, so the public has lost all confidence they may have had in the Dallas Cowboys after their initial week. And Houston's in Oakland. They're a road favorite, 3-point road favorite out there. And Indy gets Philly on Monday night. So you know what? Get a victory against Washington early in the day. Sit back at least, I think, the Houston game's a 4 o'clock kick. Tennessee will be playing at the same time. And then, certainly even though they're hosting it, Indy will have their hands full, you would think, on Monday Night Football. And now the rest of the season without Robert Mathis. So, you know, short-term thinking, go get a W and you're right there in the thick of things in the AFC South.
Watching, Jake Locker in the preseason a little bit. Excellent progress.
It's Wizenhunt, isn't it? I mean, Wizenhunt's the Wiz.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, Jake Locker is clearly, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Wizenhunt. I don't know if.
Well, he's just seemed to have had a lot of success with his QBs where he's gone. He's, you know, taken over some kind of reclamation type stuff and turned things around for a while.
He's done it for Jake Locker now. This he's playing for real.
Yeah. He's got some nice little weapons around him. Tennessee looked pretty good opening weekend. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see if they're a contender in the, division.
They had a big loss though. They lost Zach Brown, their linebacker.
They did. He's out for the year. Out for the year with a pec injury. Yep. I saw that. News coming out this morning that the owner of the Buffalo Sabres, Terry Pegula, has reached a tentative agreement to buy the Bills and plans to keep the team in Buffalo. That's being reported widespread by a number of outlets as well. All right, we've got to take a quick time out, come back, and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you about the future of Ray Rice. Does he have one in the National Football League? Mike Dempsey, Jeff Loggeman, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here. I'm not a guy who likes to shave every day, and when I do shave, I want it to be quick, clean, and easy. I've got just the solution. Harry's Razors. The only place you can get them is online at harrys.com. But Harry's makes a high-quality product, and they found a way to deliver it to you. That's why I said deliver it to you inexpensively. In fact, you're going to save money, typically 50% off what you're going to pay the big brand blades in your local stores, wherever they happen to be. Harry's is going to deliver razors, blades, shaving cream right to your doorstep. Absolutely no shipping charges whatsoever. And if you go to harrys.com, that's the only way you can get them. HARRYS.com. Just enter my first name, Mike. Harry's is going to knock 20% off their already low price on the first item you purchase at harrys.com. So discover the new way to shave. Harry's Razors. Save your face. Save your wallet. You're going to wonder why you hadn't done this before. Go to harrys.com and start getting your Harry's Razors today at harrys.com.
Jaguars today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. 2 hours spent on two things, your Jags and the rest of the NFL. This is Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
problem with your sewer?
Dial 6951911.
Don't tell me, let me guess, call Metro Rooter.
Dial 6951911 or MetroRooter.com.
Nobody likes to have plumbing problems at their home or business, but if you do, call Metro Rooter. We provide fast same-day service with the right parts and equipment on hand to get you up and running. For all your plumbing and septic tank needs, call the best. Just pick up the phone and dial
6951911 or MetroRooter.com.
Clodnoll and Cadillac means luxury, performance, and service you can count on. Since 1905, Clodnoll and Cadillac has served as the preferred Jacksonville Cadillac dealer. A pillar of the community, Clodnoll and Cadillac has been owned by the same family from day one, so you know you can count on them to take care of you when looking for your next vehicle. They also have more master technicians than any other dealer in the area. Clodnoll and Cadillac is located on 4700 Southside Boulevard. Go see them today.
Now that should take care of any problem. Wild West Guns and Gold is always there for you because even a 60-second response time is not enough. Wild West Guns and Gold only buys dealer direct and passes the savings directly on to you. Not only does Wild West Guns and Gold guarantee the best price every time, they have the best selection on everything from handguns to military assault rifles. Call 693-0777 or visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com for more information.
Tony Vasella here. As an offensive lineman, I appreciate protecting the quarterback like I do my home. And that's why I recommend Sterling Roofing.
Sterling Roofing. The proof is in a Sterling Roof.
Play the refined Dyes Valley course reopening in September 2014 in the best condition that members and guests have ever experienced. Join now and pay only $3,500 to play for cart fee only. Call 904-280-2412 or go to tpc.com/sawgrass.
Okay, Googans, you get it. No more? Come on, man. Recycling with Republic Services does save, even make you money. Apparently, you do, in fact, like trees supporting oxygen, and your blue bin is no longer a bookshelf. Republic Services has the most modern recycling facility in the entire South called Single Stream Recycling. It's recycling made simple, and I'm going to make it simpler. Here's a game plan for the football season. When in doubt, leave it out. It's true, you no longer have to sort your plastics, glass, cardboard, and paper. It all goes in one bin, and the team at Republic Services takes it from there. You can even make green while going green. But flares and fireworks, needles and aerosol cans, not so much. No coat hangers or wire, and this has happened from time to time. Animals, all together now. When in doubt, leave it out. You can always go to republicservices.com for all the do's and don'ts, and come on, man. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Let's keep getting it in the bin and getting it to the curb with Republic Services. The kings of green. You know, aerosol cans can blow up and cause fires. I don't like fire. It burns.
1010XL 92.5 FM is brought to you by GEICO. Live and local sports for everyone. 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hello, I'm Kenny Lay of Kenny Lay & Associates. For over a decade, our firm has been exclusively representing men in the area of family law. That is all we do. That is our only focus. We have 6 offices, including Jacksonville, throughout the state of Florida, protecting men's rights for things such as divorce, custody, child support, alimony, and any modification. If you need our assistance, please visit our website at menonlyfamilylawonly.com or call us at 541-1252. Kenny Lay & Associates. Men Only, Family Law Only.
I've got my own veterinary practice, but getting started wasn't easy, especially when it came to finding new customers. Then I heard about Leads by Web.com.
Leads by Web.com gets you listed in the places customers are searching online and gets them to call you. Just tell us how many leads you want. Call 855-882-0934 now, and we'll start with a free evaluation by one of our local business consultants.
Thanks to Leads by Web.com, business is really working. I mean, booming.
Call 855-882-0934.
Do you own a truck or an SUV? There's one name to know, Catlin. From Lear toppers to trailer hitching, at Catlin, we do it all. This is Keith Catlin, and we know trucks. Need a toolbox? Come see the Cam Locker. Need floor mat? We carry WeatherTech. At Catlin, we carry quality products at a great price. Come see us today or call us at 354-8521.
Who can you count on? Count on Catlin.
Established in 1919, you can count on Catlin.
This football season, score a touchdown with new company shirts, hats, or other custom logoed items from Hardball Creative. It's 1010XL's choice and should be the number one pick for your firm, too. 998-8778. Online at HardballCreative.com.
Hey, this is Tony from Tony D's Pizza.
Come in on Tuesdays. It's 2 for Tuesdays at Tony D's. Buy a 14 or 16-inch pizza. Get a second pizza absolutely free. The best in authentic New York pizza and pasta. Tony D's Pizza and Restaurant. Bay Meadows and 9A behind Walgreens.
Joe C. Hacker. T-Wig. Funny names, fun guys.
It is rather difficult to explain.
Weekdays noon to 3 on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
There'll be no sleepless nights. I'll be all right.
All right, Sons of Anarchy is back tonight. Enjoy it like I do or don't. I don't care. More for me. It's all good. I don't think that's how it works, but we'll continue on. Jaguars today, Tony. Today, the Tom Bush Family Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight asked, you know, in light of guys like Mike Vick, who was sent to federal prison for dogfighting, animal cruelty. I don't remember what the specific charges were, but you had Leonard Little, who was guilty of manslaughter when he was drinking. Almost, I think he was twice the legal limit. Killed somebody. He made it back to the National Football League. I realize it's a different day and time. Video evidence is shocking in this particular case, but we asked folks if they think Ray Rice will ever play another down in the National Football League. And from what I saw, got a varied amount of responses.
No, we did. From Tony, we got, no, sadly, not because he's a woman beater, but because he's an over-the-hill running back. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Irish Jag, if there's any justice in this world, no. So, yes, probably. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Brock, if he plays again, I hope he isn't allowed to wear a helmet and pads. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Will, we got, nah. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Eric, no. If the CFL doesn't want you either, you're done. Hashtag shut up, Ray. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Josh, this case is different than others because of video evidence. And he followed that up with, I'm just sad that there's a lot of pick-up Ray Rice people out there. Start collection of indefinite suspensions. Hashtag no. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Cam, yes, still young, and like Vic, Stallworth, and Little, we make mistakes but can be forgiven. Hashtag Jaguars today.
I didn't see a bunch of people on Twitter promoting the idea of picking up Ray Rice, but I'm not saying it wasn't there. For me, in my Twitter feed, I had one person ask me, do you think the Jags would consider it? He wasn't necessarily even advocating for it, so I not in a million years do I see that even being a consideration here.
Now, you mentioned a lot of these other guys, Leonard Little and such.
Uh-huh.
How about Ray Lewis?
Absolutely. Ray Lewis, by the way, he says, my situation is completely different, to which people yesterday were responding, yeah, you didn't leave any witnesses alive.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that. I mean, when he said that, there are two people dead.
Right. And you got... We're guilty of obstruction of justice. In other words, you're trying to cover up a murder.
And it's still,
or multiple murders.
It's still unsolved.
Right.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
And yet they put a statue of him at the stadium?
Right. That gets you a statue and a job with ESPN as well, you know, to be one of the talking heads and lauded on every game he played. Oh, I don't know, for the last 5 years of his career as the greatest, most inspirational, what have you. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I ain't on that.
Ravens have had quite the run, haven't they? Well, I wonder how they're feeling now. After the reception that the fans gave them, standing ovation at training camp.
I guarantee there's a lot of fans that would like to have the opportunity to react to it one more time.
I would hope so. Anyway, this one from Cass Bridges said, I think he should return only if every game day one lucky lady gets to give him a right cross before kickoff. Hashtag Holyfield his ass. I think more appropriately you should take the strength to weight ratio that the edge he had over Janae, find a dude out there, with the similar strength to weight ratio over Ray Rice and that guy deliver the shot.
Or she gets brass knuckles, something.
Whatever. Janae, what did she say? She said that everyone's making too big of a deal. Leave me alone.
Actually,
this is my business.
It was an Instagram post and it was on a private account. So somebody that had access to her private account actually leaked what she had put on her Instagram. She has since pulled the statement that she made this morning, but it basically said to wake up this morning and have to relive the worst moment of my life over and over is a horrible thing. You're taking away our livelihood. This is our world.
See, now, I'm sorry. I understand the aspect of if you're truly traumatized, I mean, and I'm not saying she's not. She has to turn on the TV. You're seeing yourself get knocked out over and over and over again by the guy who's now your husband. All right, I'll go with that. Ray Rice took away his own livelihood. though.
I agree.
But a little personal responsibility for the husband.
Yeah.
In this case.
Isn't it amazing, though, how the world that we live in, that you know, all of a sudden accountability just goes out the window? And it's a shame.
Yeah, it's Goodell's fault for keeping it. Mike Ditka said it yesterday. Said, how's the guy going to make a living? What?
Go work at a grocery store.
He just made $25 million in the last 2 years. He pocketed, he cashed checks before taxes for $25 million.
Mike Ditka said that yesterday. He's off his rocker.
I tend to agree with you at this stage.
He's just entertainment value.
I guess.
You don't know what Big Mike's going to say.
No, you don't, and I'm sure that's part of the appeal, you know.
The taxes do take a lot out, you know.
They do take a lot. You're right.
Man.
That could be. I mean, you might be working with $15 million after
that
40% gets lopped
what
off the
hit.
Top. That's a good point.
You might have to change your lifestyle.
You're going to have to tighten the belt a little
right.
bit.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. So, I think that, but a couple of those posters, the tweeters made good points. Mike Vick was a quarterback who still clearly had some game left because he played at a near MVP level when he was healthy that 1 year for Philadelphia. He played at a great level. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wonder Little was a young pass rusher with a lot of future left ahead of him. And yes, had Mike Vick been found a video of him electrocuting dogs and we had those images in our mind, maybe it would have been more difficult for anyone to accept him back. It's still, you still get protests wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. There are still protests. I saw him in Shreveport. I happened to see him at the airport. This summer he was promoting a comedy tour that he is a hand in promoting. He's dabbling in that. And there were protests in Shreveport about him being associated with anything happening in the city, you know? So you got Ray Rice, who averaged 3.1 yards per carry last year.
That has a lot to do with it.
That, I would think, has a lot to do with it. And he's, 27, 28? So he's not
27,
at the magic age of 30 yet, but probably.
Touched the ball a lot.
If he was still playing like a LeSean McCoy, would he have another opportunity in the National Football League? Yes.
That's awful, isn't it, though? I mean, shouldn't there be? I don't know. Maybe it's not. What do you think?
As far as should he have another opportunity?
Well, no, I mean, based on simply because of his talent level. You know what I mean? I mean, you would hope that people would look at Ray Rice and say, I don't want anything to do with him. I would hope that Toby Gerhart, Denard Robinson, every running back with a pulse were suddenly stricken.
Here's what a general manager is thinking. I mean, because that's what it's going to take. I mean, when the suspension is lifted, somebody's going to have to choose to sign him. And somebody's going to sit there and go, okay, here's a guy that averaged 3 yards a carry for the last couple of years while he was playing. And then here's a guy that also has this baggage.
Mm-hmm.
He's an abuser of women. Do I want to bring a guy in who averages 3 yards a carry to have this stigma attached to him and this other circus attached to him coming in the door together?
I guess what I'm saying is I hope that stigma in this case is enough that I would like to think, and I'm not naive, but I'd like to think that if Ray Rice were LeSean McCoy right now and he had done the exact same thing, that people would not want him associated, that winning at all costs, there should be a line that's drawn. And it's pretty clear. You can't plead ignorance on what Ray Rice has done at this point in time.
No, but also if he gets suspended for a year, let's say he's still a great player.
Sure.
And then he was suspended for a year. And in that year's time, he went and got counseling. He got help. Him and his wife are doing great. He tried to help, you know, centers for.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would, Jeff. I'm sure he would do whatever would try to make him look good.
But
in
it was heartfelt commitment to making himself better and making the world better because of a mistake that he made. If he committed to all of that, and he were a good player after a year, would I say that he deserves another opportunity at continuing on with making a living playing football? Yeah.
Yeah, I just, to me, anything Ray Rice does in this step forward, you know, against domestic violence, hopefully it has a positive effect if he does anything, but I wouldn't believe for a second that it was genuine. This is a guy who was the face of one of the NFL's biggest anti-bullying campaigns, right? And the callous regard in which he reacted, we already discussed this, reacted to what he did, and the apparent willingness to throw his wife under the bus or let others throw her under the bus and take on any portion of the blame, I don't think this guy would have a sincere bone. I wouldn't believe any action.
I'm not
going to
disagree with you
from this point forward.
But if in a year's time,
I understand what you're saying.
You saw a change, then you would maybe be more willing.
For me, I'm too big of a cynic. I wouldn't trust the change. Is what I wouldn't believe my eyes because.
Did you ever believe the change of Michael Vick?
Yeah, I guess I have, but and maybe because I felt like he was punished, he went away, and he just truly has seemed to be a changed player. And everything you hear about him, he's been a good teammate, a good, you know, he's been an advocate for speaking out against abuse of animals and stuff like that. So you're right. I mean, maybe had I seen what Mike Vick did, I'd feel the same way about him and say it was all self-serving with Mike Vick. I guarantee you. You can catch me having a double standard from time to time. I freely admit it. I'm a human being. It happens. By the way, folks, head to the Facebook page. You can still weigh in on the question, and we'll give away some T-shirts later today. But Foundation Professionals of Florida has the photo contest up. My Jaguar Family is the theme this week. Again, you're playing for tickets to the home opener. So we'll, from all the photo contests we've done, we'll draw a few finalists. We'll put the names in a hat. And next week, we will draw a winner and give away a pair of tickets to go see the Jags and the Colts for the Jags home opener. 287-2690, the number of Foundation Professionals of Florida. If you have issues with your home's foundation, don't let them linger. They're licensed and insured. Visit them at foundationprosfl.com. Jeff Logman, always a pleasure.
Enjoyed it, Mike.
Thanks for taking us to school once again.